532nd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pickup for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NHL, NBA, MLB, and college basketball, plus more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN and get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 532. This goes out to my niece, whose birthday is today, future WNBA star. So this goes out to you. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. And different location for people on YouTube are like, Jeff's got a different background, but same old annoying host. Don't worry, nothing's changed here. Today, we got UFC Fight Night, a pretty good UFC Fight Night, because it's not at the Apex. So that's the first tip off that it'll actually be a pretty good card because they expect people to actually pay for it. So no, this one's in Atlantic City. Not only is it a pretty solid fight card, it's got some very, shall I say, interesting lines. Gumby, my co-host, who will be introduced very shortly, he alluded to this past few episodes. I actually have done the research since then. And yeah, a lot of lines I was surprised by when I jumped into actually making picks for the fights. So today, as per usual, is the prelim episode. We break these down into two episodes for new listeners or viewers. So today we will cover, I think there's like seven prelim fights. So plenty of stuff to cover today. And then tomorrow we'll do the main card, the props, the locks, the dogs, the parlays, all that fun stuff. So let's bring in that aforementioned man, Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Some interesting lines on this here card. Interesting underdogs, interesting lines are going in directions I didn't expect them to go in and whatnot. There you go. I set you up. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think obviously the main event we've talked about, a couple of times over the course of the week, that the line is moving in a very odd way for me on that one. Mm-hmm. But like on the prelims, even if we don't even talk about movement, if we just talk about where the lines are, there's two or three fights on this card where I was shocked at where it was. Two particularly in a direction I was happy about. One particularly in a direction where I thought I was going to get an underdog and I was kind of thought I was sniping the market and then only to find out that they're a favorite anyway. So there were a few on there that were shocking to me. I guess we'll get into it in a moment.
We definitely will. Yeah. And it seems the favorites are becoming even more bigger favorites for most of the fights. Like I think I originally did the work on Monday and then I updated it before we recorded today, Wednesday, and the lines are getting wider, it seems, for most of the fights. So if you're in on dogs, this could be a good week if they hit.
Yeah, and there was one that got weirdly closer, which is maybe the one that surprised me the most. The light heavyweight contest getting closer and closer and closer as we get to fight. That is like a pick 'em now, or at least it was last I looked. So
one of our favorites.
Yeah.
In the fight.
The pleasure man, who obviously got that nickname from his dad.
Yes, I was gonna ask you, but you already let the cat out of the bag again. Yes, his dad called him the pleasure man, obviously. That's the way they roll
from. So first of all, we don't know that his dad called him that. We just know his dad gave him that nickname.
All right. That's true. I guess it's kind of semantics, but okay. Sure. If that makes you feel any better about things.
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
maybe that's how they roll in Sweden. I'm not positive how they do things over there. So yeah, that is one of the exciting fights we're going to cover here on this here prelim fight, a fight with the pleasure man. Before we jump into that, though, I got to tell you some exciting things are happening on our network. Of course, you are listening to SGPN right now because that's what network our show is on. And did you know, you should know, that SGPN is home to 20 plus gambling podcasts, all completely free. Not just our show, lots of other shows. In honor of March Madness, this week's feature shows are the Sports Gambling Podcast, the flagship show on SGPN. It's hosted by our bosses, Ryan Real Mighty Kramer and Sean Stacking the Money Green, where the guys have picked every tournament game against the spread since 2012. That's even longer than Gubby and I have been doing it. And of course, don't forget about the College Basketball Experience. Colby Dant, a.k.a. Pick Dundee, Ryan Moneyline Mac, and producer Noah B. continue their unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. Subscribe today to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience, wherever you get your podcasts. Hopefully all of you are already subscribed there. So thoughts on the prelims before we dive into things? Anyone you're super excited about?
I would just say fun debuts and people who we can answer questions about. My favorite line. There's some questions to be asked here, and we'll do some answering of them.
You think we will?
I think so.
All right. Let's jump in right away, shall we, with what weight class are we at? Bantamweights are kicking things off. I'm going off the fight order on Tapology. I've seen different fight orders around. I didn't check with Gumby in advance, but Gumby can figure these things out on the fly if need be. But we're going with bantamweights first. Angel Pacheco, who was on your show last week.
Yes, he was.
Yes, last week. Versus Cal Lochran. 3 5-minute rounds. USA versus Ireland. We will tell you about Pacheco first. 7-2, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. So he's finished everyone. He owes his rounds there. He himself has never been finished. This is his UFC debut. He's gone 4-1 over his last 5. He did lose his last fight. That was on Contender Series, right? That was his last fight, I believe.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, he lost to Danny Silva.
So why is he getting signed, Gumby?
He took a savage beating, I believe is what Dana White said. He liked the beating he took.
Perfect. Yeah, that sounds like something Dana White would say. He was a regional champion, used to fight at lightweight, 2 inches height, 2 inches reach over Lochran. He's 4 times more active than Lochran. That's based off of his one fight on the Contender Series where he took a savage beating. He got outstruck by 0.47 strikes in that fight, plus 285. Lochran, the Don is the nickname. 8-1, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 0-1 in the UFC. He did lose his last fight. That would have been it. He was a Cage Warriors champ before this. Former Cage Warriors champions are kind of struggling as of late in the UFC. So we'll see if he can turn that around. I used to fight up at featherweight, 4 years younger than Pacheco. Better grappling stats based off their one fight each. He got outstruck in his UFC fight by 2.4 strikes per minute. He's at minus 325. Go ahead, Mr. Gumby.
I'm going to go with Lochran. I think, so here's the thing, is I went back and I watched that Pacheco fight with Danny Silva, and I think we were all clowning on Angel Pacheco in that fight because, you know, he lost 30-27 across the board, somehow still got a contract. And if I'm not mistaken, that was on the night they were not going to give Josephine Knutson, or maybe it was two weeks after they didn't give Josephine Knutson a contract. And so we were all like, I think we clowned on Angel Pacheco a lot there. But I went back and I watched. He's actually got a lot of things that we would like. He counters really well. He's a very accurate striker. He seems to hit pretty hard. He was coming off of a win over Vlinsen Negroni, who's on CFFC. Really talented fighter there. He we beat with like a nice flying knee. Like, there's a lot to like about Angel Pacheco. But I think the biggest issue is, and the thing that made him look so bad on Contender Series, was he's so damn hittable. Like, he wants that counterpunch so bad that he's willing to take one on the chin in order to return his counterpunch. And I think against Lochran, that is a huge concern, because Lochran's gone in there and he's finished some really good guys, right? Like, he beat Dylan Hazen in his last fight, or rather his last fight before he came to the UFC. He beat Luke Shanks, both of those guys by TKO, and those are, like, big names in Cage Warriors. So, like, he's a good prospect who hits really hard. And Pacheco, like, you know, he did take the whole beating that Danny Silva gave him. But in addition to that, he'd been wobbled before enough times that, like, sort of concerned me about his durability. Like, in that Vlinsen Negroni fight, he clearly lost the first round. He got hit so hard in the first round, stumbled, dropped, just didn't get finished, and then came back and won in the second. So I like Pacheco more than I think a lot of people are giving him credit for. I could see him picking up a UFC win at some point in time. But I do think this is a bad matchup, being that Lochran hits as hard as he does.
Yeah, I think Lochran, they're giving him a, not a layup, but they're giving him a nice matchup after dropping his debut. Maybe this will be the Irish fighter that doesn't wash out of the UFC immediately. They've been having trouble with their prospects as of late. Other than that, Ian Gary, a fellow. But yeah, Lochran is my pick here. Talent level is better than Pacheco, but Pacheco can take a beating. a savage beating. So we shall see. We're moving on, ladies and gentlemen. We're going way up to middleweights. Our boy, Andre Petrosky versus Jacob Malkun, US versus Australia action. I would tell you about our boy, Petrosky. That should be his nickname, our boy. Just like, yeah, boy. Petrosky's 10-2, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, so finishing both his losses. 5-1 in the UFC, 5-1 over his last 6. Got TKO'd in his last fight, but that was to Michelle Pereira, so not really a heck of a lot of shame in that one. 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, was regional champion, used to fight at welterweight, 3 inches taller than Malkun, better grappling stats than Malkun. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.58 strikes per minute. Petrosky has, and he's at plus 200, no respect. Malkun, Mamba is the nickname. 7-3 with 2 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. 3-3 in the UFC. Loss, win, loss over his last 3. Was a grappling champion. 4 years younger than Petrosky. Better striking stats. More active landing strikes than Petrosky. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.4 strikes per minute, which is a pretty decent number. Minus 215. Obviously, I got to take our boy Petrosky as a dog. We had him at plus 300 against Maximov, and he came through for us. But yeah, he's fighting a guy who wants to grapple and wrestle, and Petrosky will have no problems with that, because that's what he prefers to do. So, yeah, I think he's going to be the stronger wrestler in this fight, the better striker in this fight as well, hopefully. So, yeah, Petrosky is a game plus 200 in my eyes here.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. I think Petrosky is a tough guy to fade here, because I'm a big Jacob Malkun guy, right? Like, I have picked Jacob Malkun in just about damn near every fight he's been in, because I do really like the grappling game of him. And I think if he's on top of Petrosky, his jiu-jitsu is maybe a touch better than Petrosky's. But I just don't know that he has the wrestling to get it to the ground consistently to keep Petrosky down there. And to your point, I think Petrosky's better on the feet. He's got better power on the feet. And Malkun has been knocked out, right? Phil Haw's gotten his face, knocked him out in, what was it, 18 seconds or something like that? It was like no time at all. So the fact that he's already a guy who, you know, we got questions about his chin. We don't know whether or not he's able to do that full, you know, 3 rounds on the feet with a guy who hits hard. And I think he's going to have to, right? Like, unless Petrosky wants us to go to the ground, I think it stays on the feet. So, yeah, I think this is probably one of the easier dogs for me to pick here, especially as that number keeps climbing during fight week.
Let's hope it comes through. Why do you think he is such a big dog? Because he got knocked out by Pereira, big deal.
Yeah, I 100% think that's the entire thing. Michelle Pereira made him look kind of silly, and now we've seen Pereira twice at middleweight, and my God, does he look good. You know, like, he looks phenomenal at middleweight. He probably should have been at middleweight his whole career. So to see him do what he did to, what was it, Oleshejczyk he beat in his last fight, like, you should be able to look at that and be like, okay, well, yeah, Petrosky can't get him down because, first of all, he's a massive middleweight. And second of all, of course, Petrosky's a worse striker than Michelle Pereira. But, like, neither of those two things are true here. So seeing him at plus 200 as a fade here is kind of silly to me.
Yep. Definitely. All right. Let's before we move on, I'm going to tell you about our friends at Cut, because they're keeping us in your ears and in your eye holes. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users in sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. And social features include group chats, betting, leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. So get on Cut, check out all the custom bets that the SGPN crew have up there now. You can do that by downloading Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com, that's K-U-T-T, and use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. And of course, the mighty Underdog Fantasy are with us as well. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. If you haven't played before, they have pretty much every sport on there. You pick between 2 and 5 players. They have numerous stats for each player, stat projections. You pick higher or lower on them, and you can win 100 times your money if you make the right picks. Boom. In one night. You don't have to wait a whole season. One night. Obviously, that sounds good. So here's what you got to do. Sign up today with our promo code, which is MMASGPN, and you get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. You can visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo MMASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right, we're moving to the ladies now. Flyweights, Melissa Gatto, Brazil, Victoria Dudakova, Russia. And this is 3 5-minute rounds at flyweight, right? Yes, they're up at Dudakova's going up to flyweight here. Okay, flyweight. Dudakova, I'm going to tell you about first. 8-0, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. She's 2-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in contender series. Used to fight down at strawweight. She did miss weight there before. Now she's at flyweight. 3 years younger than Gatto. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.69. Nice. Strikes per minute, plus 140. Gatto, 8-2-2. 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 1-2 in the UFC. Won her debut, lost 2 straight. Is not won since December 2021. Used to fight at featherweight and bantamweight. 2 inches of reach over Dudakova. More active landing strikes. And she's got a positive strike differential in the UFC of 0.85 strikes per minute. Minus 155. Over to you.
I'm going to take Gatto here. Originally, I saw this line posted, and I was like, Dudakova, maybe, as a slight dog here. And I went back and I watched Dudakova's debut, and I'm kind of I remember being higher on her striking than I was after rewatching. It looked slow. It looked kind of predictable. It's sort of those, like, those combinations that it looks like she's hitting mitts all the time. It's roped, I think is the right word for it.
That's a good word.
She just uses what you expect her to use every time. Yeah. And it doesn't vary. And when you look at Gatto is much more dynamic. She moves forward better. She has better extension on her punches. So if this stays on the feet, she's good there. And then in addition to that too, like I think Gatto's wrestling is sleepy good. We saw her take down Tracy Cortez a couple of times, and we know how hard that can be. You got Dudakova coming up a weight class trying to do something similar. And, you know, she had a lot of trouble with Jinyu Fry, who, by the way, is an atomweight. She's not even a strawweight. So having a lot of trouble with the physicality of Jinyu Fry, I think you're going to have even more trouble with Gatto, who's, like, held her own up at bantamweight. So, you know, we're talking about people who have come off of fighting people in 3 weight classes apart. And Gatto held her own physically up there, and Dudakova kind of struggled it against an atomweight. So, yeah, I like Gatto's physicality here. I think her boxing's a touch better. And obviously, I like the line being that she's not a huge favorite.
Yeah, I was going to go Dudakova, but more I think about it, I really can't. It comes down to the physicality and the size. It's basically the key thing here. We got a former featherweight versus a former strawweight. And Gatto knows how to use her size. She's a pretty physical fighter. So I think it's going to be issues for a young fighter like Dudakova. So Gatto's got the much better grappling as well. So
She subbed Carol Hosa off her back, which is, you know, worth noting too. Yeah. That was before the UFC, but she picked up a Kimura submission that way.
And she has fought a lot of good fighters as well in her 12 fight career. So, I think Gatto is the pick. I was going to go dog, but I couldn't justify why I was going dog. So I'm going with who I think is going to.
Was it the Russian sounding name?
Maybe, no. I always thought, you know, Dudakova is okay. You know, she's a decent prospect, but as we just laid out, I don't think this is a decent matchup for her. Just I think the size is going to be the key factor here. Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Probably. Yep. All right. Let's move on to the men's side, and we're going to the light heavyweights. We got a Turk versus a Swede, right? Ibo Aslan or Ibo. Is it Ibo or Ibo?
Ibo. I think it's
right?
Ibo. Ibo, if I'm not mistaken.
I was right the first time. Ibo Aslan versus the pleasure man, Anton Turkoglu.
Turkoglu. There you go. You got it.
It took me 3 times. We know him as the pleasure man. So he is 8-3, Mr. Pleasure Man. 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-3 in the UFC. Got TKO'd in his last fight. 1-0 in the contender series. Used to fight at middleweight, an inch height, an inch of reach over Aslan. He's got better grappling stats based off of 1 fight for Aslan. Aslan fought in the contender series, right? Jacale has been outstruck in the UFC and Contender Series by 0.76 strikes per minute. He's at plus 110. The last Ottoman, Aslan, 12-1. Just wait till you hear who the one came against. With 12 knockouts, he's been submitted one time. This is his UFC debut. He's won four straight, all via TKO. He's not lost since August 2020, which was to the Pleasure Man by submission. 1-0, so this is a rematch. 1-0 on Contender Series. He's fighting heavyweight, multiple region championships on his...
mantle.
Get the shirt. Correct. Get the shirt. The shirt I'm wearing right now. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. Based off of his Contender Series fight, he's got better striking stats. And he's five times more active landing strikes than Mr. Pleasure Man. He outstruck his Contender Series opponent by 5.49 strikes per minute. He's at minus 125 for the rematch. Gumby. We can't pick Turkali, right?
So I believe you're supposed to go on this one.
But, oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. I can't take Turkali. I don't care if you won the original fight. He's not looked good. Aslan has looked good since that loss. Actually, he's looked good in every fight.
He looked good in the loss. He looked really good in the loss. And
he got caught. So, yeah, he's going to avenge his loss here.
Yeah, I think this is set up to make Ibo Aslan look good and to show Anton Turkali the door. And I think you're right. He looked good in that fight up until he got caught, looked a little tired or a little stunned or whatever it might have been, and Turkali took advantage. I think Aslan knows what he's coming to do. He's going to shoot 100 takedowns, and I think he's going to wreck him with something on the way in. As much as I've enjoyed the hilarity of making jokes about Anton Turkali being the Pleasure Man, I think this is one-way traffic. I can't believe this is one of the ones where I was like, damn, yep, that line is that close. We should have mentioned it, the Petrosky one too. But like, yeah, I couldn't believe that. This one was tight.
Now I'm looking looks like there aren't really props, or at least where I'm looking, props for this fight. Because like Aslan via knockout is the obvious play here, right?
Yeah, I think I saw it. Hang on, I'll get back to you as you...
Okay, we don't need to do that today anyhow. That might be, that's more of a tomorrow show thing, but... that's just something I thought, because this seems like the way to go, especially a guy who just got TKO'd fighting against a guy who just knocks people out. All right. We're moving on to another fight. Should we move on to another fight? Yeah, we should. One more fight. And then I'll tell you about some more of our fun sponsors here. We're going way down from light heavyweight. We're going down to featherweight Connor Matthews, hockey player, versus Dennis Bazooka, named after a weapon. Both from the United States of America. Connor Matthews, the controller. So he's like, isn't that like a... no, that's a comptroller I'm thinking of. It's like he's a executive in some kind of firm. Why is he the controller? Is it a grappling thing?
I think he was he's an air traffic controller in the air.
Oh, for real?
Something like that. Yeah, he's a military guy. He's a military guy.
Okay, fine. He's 7-1, Mr. Matthews. I thought he was a hockey player. One knockout, five submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is his UFC debut. He went two straight. He went 1-1 on Contender Series. That's where the one loss came. His first kick at the can there. Slight upset when he lost that fight. Inch reach over a Bazooka. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and better grappling stats. He's been outstruck over his two-fight Contender Series career by 0.44 strikes per minute, plus 110. So almost a pick-em. The great Dennis Bazooka. 11-4, four knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out once. 0-2 in the UFC as part of a two-fight losing streak. Before that, a seven-fight winning streak. Got TKO'd in his last fight. Missed weight as well recently. 1-1 in Contender Series. 1-0 on Bellator. Multiple region championships on his...
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. The shirt I'm wearing. Not the exact shirt I'm wearing, but a shirt in your size. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. Used to fight at lightweight, Mr. Bazooka. Inch of height, 5 years younger than Matthews. He's been outstruck over his Contender Series and UFC career by 1.63 strikes per minute, minus 120. What do you think here? What do you think about Connor Matthews on the Contender Series? Did you pick against him the first time?
No, he's the one who we were going to watch fight Francis Marshall. And Francis Marshall, I was like, he's just a wrestler. And Connor Matthews is a pretty good wrestler himself. And then Francis Marshall, I think, surprised everybody coming out with like some incredible boxing. And it especially surprised Connor Matthews. I think that's the bottom line. Is Connor Matthews was getting ready for a grappling match and he got boxed up pretty bad. I think the beauty of this fight is he knows what he's getting into. And Bazooka has been really controllable in his fights, right? Like every single time he wants to take the fight down or he wants to keep distance, his opponent just does the opposite. If his opponent, you know, forces him to stand, or, you know, his opponent takes him down, or like, and I think Matthews is kind of, I think he's physical enough. He's tough enough. He's got good enough takedowns that I think he at least controls Bazookia against the cage and gets enough work done that way. I also really like the gas tank of Conor Matthews, despite the fact he got beat up in the boxing a little bit in that fight with Francis Marshall. I think his ability to shoot takedown after takedown after takedown after takedown again here against Bazookia is going to play really well. I've been really low on Dennis Bazookia, and I know some people are high on him and think he's like a nice prospect, but you know, he was knocked out only 3 months ago, which I think is also maybe an alarm bell. Not that I think Conor Matthews necessarily will go out there and knock him out, but he's got power too. So yeah, I'm going to go slight dog. I'll take Conor Matthews.
I am agreeing with you. I'm glad you're in on this one too, because this one once I did have a question mark about, because like you said, people are big on Bazooka. Obviously, he's a favorite here. I think I like what I've seen from Matthews more. Obviously, I think he's going to be the better grappler here. And I think he can kind of grind out, get a gritty win. But he finishes people too, so who knows? Maybe he won't be gritty. Maybe he'll just finish the guy.
Who's to say? I've got an update for you too. Ibel Aslan's KO prop is +105, which is only $30 better than his money line. So,
Okay.
Not all that exciting.
Yeah, that's true. What is exciting though is, once I scroll to it, is what am I supposed to tell people about here? Do we have we don't have one at this point, Gumby? It's just the other shows. Am I messing things up here?
Yeah. The second block, we're cool.
Ignore this, because we're not those podcasts. So Gumby will edit this out for sure, because he always edits out where
no,
I screw up.
No deal.
Exactly. All right. What to move on to? We're sticking with the featherweights. Julio Arce, USA. Herbert Burns, Brazil. Yes, both these people are still in the UFC. Mostly Herbert Burns is still in the UFC. Before we get into it, why is he still in the UFC? Because he has a famous brother, or...
Like, didn't he have one very fun win? Am I wrong about that? Did he knock somebody out?
I don't think so. He's 2-2 in the UFC, maybe. But you remember his last fight where he quit?
I do remember that one. But mostly I remember him.
You remember that one?
Did he land a flying knee on somebody and knock him out? Somebody tough?
All right.
Oh, yeah. Nate Landwehr. Yeah. Nate Landwehr. Yeah. He knocked out Nate Landwehr.
But his loss to Bill Algeo in his last fight, exhaustion from damage.
Bill Algeo's kind of exhausting.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, Burns just quit fighting, which I remember. I will not forget that. So anyhow, let's break it down. Now that I've disparaged his name, the Blaze Herbert Burns, 11-4, one knockout, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 2-2 in the UFC. He's lost 2 straight via TKO, one of them via exhaustion from damage, which is amazing. That was July of 2022. So he's been out of the cage for quite a while now. Almost 2 years. He's not won since June of 2020. Has missed weight at featherweight before. Won no contender series. 2012 pro MMA debut. 2 inches height, 3 inches of reach over Arce. He's got better grappling stats than Arce. However, striking has been the issue. He's been outstruck by 3.13 strikes per minute over his UFC and contender series career. And he is the younger brother of Gilbert. He's at +350. Arce, 18-6. 5 knockouts, 5 submissions. So a pretty well-rounded dude. Been knocked out once, submitted once, 5-4 in the UFC, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Does that make sense? Yes. So he's swapped losses and wins. So he's due for a win, obviously. He's not fought since November 2022. So this is why I said, yes, these guys are still in the UFC. At least for now, they are. He's missed weight before at bantamweight. Wait a minute. This one is at
featherweight.
Yeah, he missed weight at bantamweight. Yeah. And this one is at featherweight. So probably not an issue. But anyhow, keep an eye on both these guys, because they have missed weight before. Just different weight classes. Used to fight down a bantamweight, obviously. 1-1 contender series, multiple region championships on his...
mantle.
Correct. Lucky I wore the shirt today. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2012 pro MMA debut. He was a gold gloves champion in boxing before this MMA journey. A year younger than Burns. Better striking stats. Twice more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.28 strikes per minute. -395. Obviously, I'm taking Arce here. Burns shouldn't be in the UFC anymore. Arce is, he probably could TKO damage via exhaustion this fight too. He's similar to the man he just lost to, basically. I think he can really put it on Herbert Burns and get him out of here.
Yeah, he doesn't quite have the motor that Bill Algeo does, or like the funky style. But I like how technical he is as a striker. He's not a guy who I have like particular takedown concerns on. Herbert Burns not particularly great at takedowns in the first place anyway. So like there's a lot to like about Julio Arce here. And I'll also just say this too. Julio Arce's record might not be great lately, but you can sort of excuse a lot of the losses when you look back at him. Like Hakeem Dawodo is a really good fighter, and you know, Montel Jackson, despite being maybe not having the shiniest and sparkliest like UFC record, his like he is a puzzle in terms of his size and strength and athleticism. He also lost to Song Yadong. Like, you know, obviously these are not bad losses for Julio Arce. So despite having kind of a spottier recent record, I don't think Herbert Burns is the kind of guy who beats Julio Arce.
Nope, I don't think so either. All right, nothing but bangers the rest of this episode, but we got a couple of good fights topping off the prelims here, starting with this women's strawweight fight, Verna Jandidoba versus Lupita Godinez, Brazil versus Mexico. I'm not saying Canada, Mexico. Jandidoba Kerkara, 19-3, one knockout, 13 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 5-3 in the UFC. She won two straight and 3 of 4. Has not lost since October 2021. 3-0 in Invicta and the champion when she was there. Was regional champion as well. Used to fight at flyweight. 2013 Pro MMA debut. An inch height, 3 inches of reach over Godinez. She's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.69. Nice. Strikes per minute, plus 170. Godinez, Loopy, you can call her. She's 12-3. One knockout, 2 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 7-3 in the UFC. She won 4 straight and 6 of 7. Used to fight at flyweight as well. LFA champion and a regional champion before this. 5 years younger than Jandidoba. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and better grappling stats than her opponent here. And she's outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.55 strikes per minute. Minus 200. Gumby.
I'm going to pick Lupita Godinez. I don't like this number, though.
No.
It's gotten wider and wider. Because here's the thing. I think Lupita Godinez is a better wrestler. I know she's been training down in Mexico with her sister, who, by the way, just qualified for the Olympics.
For what country, Gumby?
For Canada. Yeah. But where are they training, Jeff?
Mexico. Her other sister's going for it too, right?
She is. Yeah. She's got one more chance to qualify. I can't remember the names of the tournaments. I'm not a big amateur wrestling guy, but you know, Anna Godinez is down there training with her. So I'm sure her wrestling only gets better. And Jandidoba has had issues with people who can force her to strike and can force her to not be on the mat. I'll also say this. If Lupita decides to wrestle and is on top, I think she's usually safe enough that she doesn't have to worry about Verna Jandidoba's subs off of her back. But this is where it comes down to, for me, why I don't like the line. Have we ever seen Lupita Godinez take down somebody with that kind of skill on their back? You know, with Verna Jandidoba's, you know, skill set off of her back, and she's got arm bars and triangles and sweeps to lead to submissions, and like she's got it all off of her back. So we've never seen Lupi deal with somebody like that. So to see her deal with somebody like that for the first time and automatically have her at a 2-1 under, or a 2-1 favorite here. I it's just hard for me to pull the trigger on that kind of number. If she was back down near -150, -140, where she was a week or so ago, I think we're singing a different tune. But as this continues to get wider and wider, I'm having a harder and harder time thinking that Lupita's got value here.
Yeah, she's my pick as well. Wrestling over grappling pretty much always is going to be my pick. And she is the wrestler in this one, but maybe her via decision is the play. Do you have that prop in front of you anywhere? Because I didn't see it.
I could put the intern on it if you'd like.
Yeah. Yeah, because Best Fight Odds for some reason doesn't have a bunch of these posted yet. But I think if you're going to pick Godinez to win, then you should pick her to win via decision. She hasn't finished people, and Jandidoba's never been finished.
Well, that's harsh, too. She does finish some people. Didn't she? She picked up a sweet armbar not that long ago.
She has 3 submissions, though, in 15 fights.
And I mean, she's probably not going to sub Jandidoba, which is maybe the more important part. But I wouldn't straight up say she's not a finisher. So
fine, whatever. Now that she's not Canadian, you're willing to give her all the flowers, right?
Yeah. Well, I've always been a fan. She's on my show.
I know.
So I got Loopy on points is even money.
Okay.
I don't love that either.
It's a lot better than minus 200, though.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see tomorrow when we have to make our picks.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. you agreed with my statement. We got a couple of bangers at the top of this, of the prelims,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I really like this last fight.
Maybe the fight we just broke down isn't going to be a banger, but it's definitely a very interesting fight that we're interested
in. It's a grappling banger.
Yep. And two fighters that, you know, I think we're pretty high on both these ladies, so it'll be interesting to see who makes it through that one. All right. Main event of the prelims. Nate Lanwear versus Jamal Emmers. 3 5-minute rounds at featherweight. Tell you about Lanwear first. The Train. Nate the Train Lanwear. 17-5, 8 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 4-3 in the UFC. However, he's won 3 of his last 4. He did lose his last fight. That was a step-up fight for him, right? I'm trying to think who it was against now. Do you remember?
Nate Lanwear?
Yeah, I will look it up if you don't.
Yeah, you get on it. I don't remember.
Dan Ige, yes. It was a step-up fight. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yep, which is no shame, losing to Dan Ige. So that was his only loss over his last 4. He's got multiple regional championships on his...
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. More active landing strikes than Emmers. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.56 breaks per minute, plus 185. Pretty boy, Jamal Emmers, 20-7. 8 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice. Taking this fight on short notice. This is very short notice, I think, too, right? Like a week?
No, a few weeks. Yeah.
A few weeks? Okay. Anyhow, short notice for him, which is going to matter because he's missed weight twice at his weight class. So keep that in mind as well. 3-3 in the UFC, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win has been the streak for him. He got a TKO win in his last fight. He as well has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Shirt. Get it. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 0-1 contender series. Used to fight at lightweight. 2012 pro MMA debut. 1 inch height, 2 inches of reach. Over Lanwear, a year younger, better striking stats. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.31 strikes per minute, minus 210. I'm going dog. I'm going Lanwear. I got to go against the short notice guy, especially short notice guy who has had trouble making weight before. And Lanwear is on a nice little roll, rolling down the tracks. Pretty dangerous fighter. Striking, I think he's going to be maybe at a little disadvantage, perhaps. I don't know. These guys,
I think grappling, he's going to be at a bigger disadvantage.
Yeah.
So if you think he's at a disadvantage striking, I don't have very good news for you.
I think it's a pretty even matchup, and short notice thing and possibly weight cutting issues could be the difference here. So I think this is worth a spin of the dice on the dog. Gumby disagrees with me.
I'm going Jamal Emmers here. I will say this is the one that when I saw it posted, I was like, oh sweet, Emmers will be a dog, and I'll grab a dog that I wasn't expecting because I think he's wildly underrated. You know, if you look at some of his losses since he's come to the UFC, you know, Pat Sabatini grabbed a knee bar on him in kind of a really awkward scrambling exchange. I think he had some advantages over Pat Sabatini in that fight. A lot of people argue he beat Giga Chikadze, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I think I scored it for Giga in real time, but I think there was a real argument that Emmers had beaten Giga Chikadze. And now we're seeing him with a little bit more power behind him too, you know, going in there and getting some knockouts. So I like Jamal Emmers. I think the reach is a big piece here. He fights a lot longer than Lanwear does. I think he's got a big grappling advantage over Lanwear. And as you sort of alluded to in the beginning of your breakdown, Emmers might even have a little bit of a striking advantage here. So I think the big piece for me and what this is going to come down to is Emmers going to have the gas tank? Because Lanwear can sort of survive and get by and might be dangerous later on. I think that's interesting. It depends on what kind of shape he comes in. It's certainly why I'm not liking a negative 210 line, and I thought he was going to come in as a dog. To your point, I think if there's value here, it's on Lanwear, but for me it's a pass spot because this fight has kind of turned into a dog or pass spot, and I'm not in on Lanwear enough to go dog.
All right. There you go. Before we move on, Hall of Fame bets. Can't forget to tell you about them. You can win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, let's do a little recap here. The only fight we differed on was the one we just broke down. I have Lanwear. He has Ember. So I took a dog and you didn't. Amazing.
Wow.
Both have Godinez, both have Arce, both have Matthews, both have Aslan, both have Gatto, both have Petrovsky as a big dog because that's how we roll with that boy. Both have Lochran. All right. What's the Safu play of this prelims, you think?
No, get out of here.
No? Yeah, what's the safest play? That's my favorite thing on Reddit.
You're gonna have to look next week next episode for the safest play.
Yeah, you think
because
so?
my lock of the week is probably off of this card. So
okay, yes. I love that on Reddit. Every post on Reddit is this a safe parlay? Is this parlay gonna hit? No, parlays aren't safe. Okay, in general. Generally, parlays aren't safe. They're set up so you're gonna lose. Anyhow. I'm glad our Discord is not like that. That would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. People don't ask you if it's a safe parlay or anything. They just show you when they win or they show you when they lose. So, anyhow, good place to be. So hop in there. Twitter, not as good of a place to be, but we're there as well. SGPN MMA. you can't disagree with that. Jeff Fox, writer for me, Gumby Vreeland for him. I'm Jeff Fox, writer on Instagram as well. He's got another podcast, he being Gumby. It's called the Top Turtle MMA Podcast. I listened to it last night. Haven't missed an episode in how many years have you been doing it? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's eight years.
Tell the people who's on it this week.
Court McGee and Kyle Nelson are joining the show. Yep.
Court McGee, not shy.
No, he loves talking.
He loves talking. He's got good stories, so hey, why not? Kyle Nelson, Canadian. Canadian to the core. Gumby didn't mention Canada once, which was very disappointing. Anyhow, listen to that. Get in my Substack money, mma.substack.com. At the very least, get a free subscription so you can enter my free pick'em contest every week. I got one running for this weekend's event that we're breaking down right now. You win a $50 gift card anywhere you like. So get in there and enter the contest. And obviously sportsgamblingpodcast.com is the place to be, as well as sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. So we can crush corporate gambling. All right. Back tomorrow. Be the controller, Jeff Fox, because I'm the one that introduces Gumby. I'm the controller. He's the pleasure man, Gumby Vreeland. And we'll be back tomorrow. See ya.